Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on this good Friday. And we're right now, I'm pretty pleased. I'm sitting here in studio with one of my favorite people. So State Representative Mark Gidley. Represents House District 29 in the Etowah County area. I've known Mark Gidley for a few years now. And like I mentioned right before we went to the break, when I was running for my second term in 2014, he called me and said, there's some men over here who want to pray for you. And how do you answer to that? So I went on over and they laid hands on me. And listen, y'all, it was like some cleansing prayer. I'm going to tell you right now, but it was good stuff. And listen, Mark Gidley is himself a pastor at Faith Worship Center in Glencoe, Alabama, where he's been for over two decades, and he's also a politician. How you doing, preacher?
I'm doing great, Phil. Good to be here with you today. Man, it's exciting.
Listen to that preacher voice.
That's good.
That is good. All right, I got to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
You've been in full-time ministry now for a number of years.
You have, yes.
And you've got a congregation still to this day.
I do.
And yet you are also an elected official.
Yes.
So did you get any pushback at all? Anybody say anything to you about running for office and mixing faith and politics?
Well, not really, Phil. I haven't got to. If it has happened, it's happened somewhat behind my back. Okay,
that happens all the time in politics.
It does, don't it? But I really haven't got a lot of pushback. I was really overwhelmed. And Phil, you know, of course, I live where I grew up. I'm a Hoax Bluff boy. I grew up there, live on property I grew up on and whatever. So I've been there all my life, and I've pastored churches from Piedmont to Blount County and then, of course, in Etowah County all these many years. And I've been very active in the community. Our ministerial association, different things. So I think people knew my values and where I stood. And I just had so many people that were saying, Mark, we're so proud that you're stepping up to do this. Now, I'm not bragging on myself with that, but I'm just saying that's what I was hearing from the people. I didn't really get a lot of pushback. Now, the one question that I have been asked more than any other single question is, why in the world would you want to do this, okay?
Well, I got that, and I wasn't in full-time.
Yeah, that's right. But I did have that question asked quite a bit, and I honestly feel I answered that question, but the only way I know how to answer it is that over time, and I won't take the time today to go into how this all began back in 2009, actually, through a very supernatural experience that I had at a prayer meeting is kind of what sparked all of this. But really, in reality, I just become more and more involved in our local political party and political politicians and that kind of thing. Begin to speak, and people would ask me, say, Mark, come talk to us about politics and whatever, you know. And I knew when the time come and this seat came open, the person that was in this seat ran for another office and came open, I really felt like it was my time to do what I had encouraged other people to do, and that's get involved in what's going on in your community. Get to know your political leaders in your community. Get to know what's going on in your state. Be involved. And I realize that everybody can't run for a state office or whatever. But I'm going to tell you something. Everybody can be involved in what's going on in your community.
Yeah.
You can go to your school board meetings. You can call your local politicians. You can go to your political meetings. You can be involved in what's going on in your community. And I want to tell you something, Phil. In my opinion, and I believe it's the right one, is that it is more important today to be involved and to know what's going on than it ever has been. We cannot live under a rock. No, we've got
right.
to know.
You are so right. And listen, that is absolutely, I recognize that not everybody listening to our show right now might be a believer. Mm-hmm. Listen, no fault, no harm, no foul. I pray for you and hope that you come to the belief that I have and I know Mark has. But the reality is this, what you're saying applies to anybody, but I love the fact that what you're saying definitely applies to Christians, mm-hmm. because if we choose not to get involved, then we are just stuck with whatever happens at that
exactly.
point.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, one of the statements, and I've said this so often, one of the statements that gets me is that people will complain about things, and they will talk about things and talk about how terrible things are and what, and then they end their statement with, somebody needs to do something about that. Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, who is the somebody? The somebody is you, okay? It ain't just says, well, that's somebody else's problem. Somebody or something. No.
I had an experience. We used to call, in the Army, we used to call them good idea fairies.
Yeah.
They would come through the room and sprinkle good idea dust and then leave the room and get nothing done because all they were doing was making good ideas.
Well, exactly. It's like the person that comes to you in the church, you know, and says, Pastor, we need to start this ministry. We got this going on. We need to start this. And the next response is, well, it must be on your heart. So why don't you take on and do that? Okay. And that's exactly the way it is. And understand, Phil, what you're saying is true. We're not just saying that if you have our ideas that you need to get involved. No, everybody needs to get involved. Even if we share a diversity of ideas, we can come up with a conclusion if we come together with ideas. So it's just important that we know what's going on today, and especially if we bear the values of our foundation.
All right, so you ran for office.
Yes.
Sure enough did.
I did.
You sure enough got elected.
I did.
And I remember it being a narrow margin,
It was a narrow margin.
But it was enough. And,
yeah.
And so here you are. Let me ask you this. Have you gotten down to Montgomery? Has it at all been disillusioning or has it been enlightening?
Well, it has. I don't say it's been disillusioning. One of the things that I had that was a little bit of advantage, and I want to be back up here. When you step into that realm, there is a ton of learning to do, and I'm still learning. I still feel like I'm a novice. Okay, even though this is my second session, but I'm beginning to learn a little more. So there's things you see once you step inside that you're never going to see till you get there. But thankfully, I had been in and out enough. I had communicated enough that I had a little bit of a working idea. So I don't think I was disillusioned. There was a lot to learn, and there's still a lot to learn. There's a lot of things that I, you know, have faced that I might not have realized I would have faced. But yet, it's been a great process. And I'll be honest with you, Phil, I still just kind of pinch myself at times to say, am I really here? Have I really been given the opportunity to serve my state, my district, and of course, my God, and to be a light for Him in this particular realm? It's been pretty overwhelming and amazing.
And I'll be honest with you. I don't know what your experience has been. Tell me one way or the other. I never had anybody questioned why in Montgomery. I mean, I never had any pushback for being open about my faith.
Right.
I don't know what your experience has been.
I haven't either. I haven't had anybody to push back on that. You know, Phil, you were there. You know there's all kind of different ideas and different perspectives
sure.
and that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And I agree with what you said in your earlier segment. We don't hang our faith on a nail when we go into any circumstance, whether it's politics, whether it's on vacation or whatever it is.
Yeah.
We don't hang our faith. If we can hang our faith on a nail, we don't really have it. Okay. If we have faith in God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and our life has been transformed by Him, that goes with us wherever we are.
Yeah.
And it better shine wherever we are.
I thought one of the most corrupt advertising campaigns I ever saw was the "What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas," which is like implying that you can be different when you're here, and we won't tell anybody. Mm. Well, that's just awful. But the reality is, here we are talking about that in politics. If folks are going down to Montgomery or to City Hall or to be the local dog catcher, I don't care what you got elected to do, or for that matter, if you're supporting a candidate and you're doing things differently while you're supporting them than you would do on your own time, then. It's not supposed to work that way. It's supposed to be with you at every step of the way.
That's exactly right. And to me, Phil, if it's not that way, and I don't mean this to be critical or judgmental, but if it's not that way, then it may not have been real to begin with. Okay.
We got about a minute and a half to 2 minutes for the next break, but
okay.
I know you brought some material with you.
I did.
Give me a quote from the past, brother.
Okay. All right. Well, we talked about, and one of the things you had mentioned to me was about talking about, you know, faith and government. Do they go together? Okay.
Yeah.
Do they coincide? So listen to this quote from John Adams in October the 11th, 1798. Listen to what he says. He says, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Avarice, ambition, revenge, or gallantry would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Our founding fathers understood these two had to fit together like a glove, or we didn't have a government that would stand.
Outstanding. Listen, that's the kind of thing. And that's what I'm talking about, folks. We're about to take a break right now. But when we come back from this break, we're going to keep this conversation going here for a minute. Text it in or call it in if you want to. 833 877-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. In the meantime, I'm sitting here with State Representative Preacher Mark Gidley, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, listen, we're right back now wrapping up this time we've had to talk about faith and politics. Are they mutually exclusive? And I would say no, they're not. I hope you already gained that from what we're talking about. But I'm sitting here in studio with my friend, State Representative Mark Gidley, who is himself still an active pastor. And we've just had this whole discourse now about Mark, about the fact that if you're a Christian, it should go with you wherever you go. And if part of where you go is into politics, then it goes with you. Mm-hmm. And it should influence the things that you do. Otherwise, it may not be real in the first place. But let me ask you this. You know, there's the old thing about if you ask not, you have not. Mm-hmm. If you do not ask for your faith to be protected in the public square, or the values your faith brings be protected in the public square, then guess what? One day they may not be protected any longer in the public square. Mm-hmm. We have to be active and engaged so that we can prevent the things that are bad from happening to us and promote the things that we believe are right. Mm-hmm. You and I were talking off the air. You've got a couple of great books with you, one of which I got to get a copy of, America's God and Country by William Federer. Mm-hmm. But he wrote another book called Socialism.
Correct.
And you were telling me that he lists the things that communists have said were part of the plan to overthrow America.
Exactly.
Tell us about some of that.
Well, I sure will. And, you know, Phil, one of the things we must understand about our nation is that we were founded on Christian principles. Where somebody likes it, where they don't like it, that's just the absolute facts. Those are ingrained in who we are. And it's those principles that allow people the freedom to be whatever they want to be. Nobody in America tells or should not, and I don't think it's in our government, says that you must be this or you must be that, or you even must be a Christian. But those principles have ingrained in our society the ability to have freedom. The removal of those will take that away. And communism understands that. They understand in socialism, which is communism, is that the only way to control a society is to take away those freedoms. And one of the first ways they take away those freedoms is to take away religious rights. Okay. Yeah. Now, in 1963, okay, and I don't have time to go into all the detail of how this happened. People can look this up and read it. But in 1963, they were read into the record, the congressional record, 45 different points of communism that they wanted to impose upon America. I got a little statement here. It says, during World War II, the United States won a two-front war, but the USSR realized it could not be successful against the U.S. on the battlefield, so the strategy was to weaken it from within. And that's where these plans were laid. And these were discovered. They were read. I'm going to share just a few of them. I ain't going to share all 45 of them. But let me share just a few of them. Number one was to do away with all loyalty oaths, to capture one or both political parties in the U.S., to use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights, get control of the schools, use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda, gain control of student newspapers, use student rights to foment public protest against programs or organizations which are under communist attack, infiltrate the press, get control of the book review assignments, gain control of key positions in radio and TV, continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression, eliminate all good sculpture from parks and buildings, substitute stapless, awkward, meaningless forms, control art critics and directors of art museums, eliminate laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books and magazines, present homosexuality.
You know what you're describing right now is what's happening.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what we're describing.
What you just read off is a list of things that we can go find news articles or, for that matter, just look around our own communities and see it.
Exactly.
And what you're also describing, though, is exactly why Christians have to get involved
exactly.
in the public square.
Exactly.
Because what you describe, you're talking about socialism and communism.
Right.
But you're also talking about principles that are antithetical to our faith.
Exactly.
And if we sit idly by and allow those things to become a part of the public discourse, or for that matter, the law, which is different. The public discourse is just people talking and the cultural aspect. But then when the law gets put in place and then we're held to that account, well, if we sat idly by and let it happen, we almost deserve what we get at that point.
Exactly. Well, and to denigrate morality and feel our basic tenets of morality come from our religious beliefs and faith and the Bible. Those are the things that teach us morality. And if we denigrate those things and if we remove those things, we've removed the very fabric of what holds this country and any country together. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly the goal. And there's many more of these. And I would encourage somebody to, I like this one here, discredit the American founding fathers, present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. Have we seen that in our society lately?
Haven't we? Tearing down the statues.
Exactly.
Ronald Reagan, I had that quote a while ago. One sentence from it says, without God, democracy will not and cannot long endure.
Exactly.
And I even heard one of my former pastors say one time, and I thought it really caught our attention. I could see everybody in the congregation kind of perked up and looked, because he said, what if we're wrong? And everybody went, what? And he said, what if we're wrong? What if at the end of our lives, it turns out that everything that we say we believed was wrong? What have we lost?
Mm-hmm.
And the question he was posing there was, what we stand for as Christians is so worth having that even if we were wrong in our faith, which you and I know we're not, but even if we were wrong in our faith, the things that we stand for are so much better than the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my faith calls me to be faithful. My faith calls me to be loyal. My faith calls me to have a work ethic.
Exactly.
My faith calls me to be a good steward. My faith calls me to be someone who is honest and trustworthy. My faith calls me to be courageous. Why would you not want those things in the public square?
Well, Phil, the greatest asset to the Christian and non-Christian are Christian beliefs, okay? That's the greatest asset. Like I said, if I'm a Christian and I believe the word of God and I believe this to be true, I'm not going to come steal your stuff. I'm not going to abuse you, okay? So the greatest asset to any society is the foundation of biblical morality that will protect even those who are not believers.
That's exactly right. You're better protected by having believers involved than by having non-believers.
Absolutely.
Involved. Well, listen, I appreciate you. And you can hear the pastor has to quit preaching because the music's playing now. The organ has kicked in.
Don't tell my church that's the way it works.
I know. You don't want the Methodist beating you to the buffet line,
that's
man.
Right.
Hey, listen, brother, I appreciate you as always.
Thanks
for your service, and
yes,
thanks
sir.
For your service to the kingdom, too.
Thank you.
All right. That's State Representative Mark Gidley, who represents House District 29. And I'm just little old Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.